This is Football Nation. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Football Nation, Week 7 of the NFL. And we are excited to get into 2 hours of today's episode. We have the Patriots and the Jets playing against each other on Sunday. We're going to talk to ESPN Boston reporter Mike Reese, who's going to join us in just a little bit. We have a full breakdown of all the games for this weekend, including, Todd, the Thursday night game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks.
That's right, Bill. How about a little NFC West action? My Super Bowl, Seattle Seahawks, Bill. They're gonna prove to you tonight, Bill, just how good they are by dropping the hammer on the defenseless Cardinals. No doubt about it.
I believe the last 2 times Seattle traveled to Arizona, the desert, they lost the game against the Cardinals. What do you think about that little stat, Todd?
I think that stat is throw it out the window, Bill. Beast Mode is going to, he'll get his typical 20 carries, you know, 96 yards, couple touchdowns. Defense is going to, Tillman, or Sherman is going to be all over the place with interceptions, Bill. You're going to see the power of the mighty Seattle Seahawks. And by the way, Bill, do you know what a Seahawk actually is, like in the realm of nature?
I'm assuming it's something like a seagull.
It's not a seagull, Bill.
Oh,
it is it's a menacing bird. It's a bird of prey. It's basically It's a nickname for an osprey, Bill. You know the osprey.
Yeah, I know what an osprey is.
Yeah. So basically, the Seattle Osprey tonight. Take them if you got them, Bill. They're going to roll tonight. It's another game, honestly, in all seriousness, that doesn't really, get you too excited because you got the Cardinals on the other end of things. But hey, we'll take it. It's football. Let's get Week 7 started.
Todd, you mentioned that those Thursday night games, you and I, not exactly fans of them. We think it's a little bit too short of a week for teams to prepare. We usually see one team just pretty much dominating the other. It's never really a really good quality game. What did you make of the rumor that the NFL was considering putting a doubleheader on Thursday night?
All right. We talked about this on the air a couple weeks ago, Bill, how I was, worried about, I'm not a big fan of this discussion of extending the regular season a couple of weeks, adding teams to the playoff mix, and now adding more nights of football, adding a doubleheader on Thursday night. I am not a fan of it, dude. Too much of a good thing is not always a great thing. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Give us the football. Make us crave it. Don't give it to us all the time. I'm not even a huge fan of the Thursday night football games as it is. I think it's a sloppy brand of football. My suggestion, I know it's a logistical challenge, but my suggestion on these airwaves a couple weeks ago was to only allow teams to play on Thursday night that have a bye week the week before.
That would make sense.
It makes sense. I know it's logistically, very difficult to do, but now if you're adding 2 games to the mix, you can throw that little theory out the window. I know it's just a rumor at this point, but I know the NFL's kind of trying to quash it, but I think there's some legs to this. I definitely think they're going to try to maximize every dollar they can, it just kind of drives me crazy, Bill. Don't add another game to Thursday night. Don't play more games overseas. Don't add more games to the regular season schedule. For God's sakes, don't add any more teams to the league. Don't expand. And, don't add more teams to the playoffs. I like it just the way it is. Don't change it. Don't change a good thing, Bill.
Now, the head of ESPN, the head of NFL, National Football League's Public Relations Department, has come out and said that they're not really considering doing a doubleheader on Thursday night. But you know what, Todd? Sometimes when people start denying rumors, that means there was actually, some kind of legitimacy to the rumor in the first place.
Yeah, here's what I think is going on here. I think that the NFL has kind of had discussions with the networks about the potential for this to happen, and that's probably all that's happened, But those discussions are, going to lead them down a path to where they're going to realize they can make more money out of this, and it's a viable, you know, option for them down the line. Because the rumor was that it would not be a doubleheader on the same network. It wouldn't be like the NFL Network getting an extra game. The rumor was that the NFL Network would still have one game, and then one of the other big networks would get the other game.
Oh, right. How they both have them on NFL Network, right.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it's a bad idea all around. And are you with me, Bill? I mean, you know, we all love football, and it's cool that we get an extra night to watch it. But too much of a good thing, you know, sometimes it can backfire in the long run. And one of the reasons we love the sport, Bill, is because there's only 16 weekends, right? It's not like baseball that's year-round, pretty much, right?
Right.
Every game matters, and you get it in small doses. You know, you wait for Sunday, and, you know, and Monday night's a little bonus. But now they're giving us Thursday night as well, and adding games to Thursday night, I'm just not a fan of it.
I'm with you, Todd. Sometimes, even when there's good matchups, like a couple weeks ago, we had the Jets and the Patriots, AFC East rivalry. That should be a good matchup. The game ended up stinking. Now, maybe because it was pouring rain, maybe because Brady wasn't too familiar with his rookie wide receivers yet. Could be a lot of reasons. But even tonight, Seahawks and the Cardinals, it does nothing for me. Like, I don't get excited about tonight's game.
Now, I mean, I'm with you, man. I think that if the games were better and if the teams were well-rested, they're not coming off of games, you know, 3 days ago, I think that it would be a whole different ballgame. But that's not what we have. What we have are usually, like you said, even when the matchups are good, the games, they're just sloppy. You know, there's turnovers. The game plans are very generic because if you think about it, Bill, again, these guys just played on Sunday. You don't have a lot of time to put in a complete game plan for the next team. You just kind of roll with your vanilla offense, roll with the vanilla defense, hope that your guys are healthy enough to get through the game, and that's about it.
All right, so we do have a full slate of games. We're going to go through our Football Nation power rankings in just a little bit. We want to remind everyone that we're taking your fantasy football questions at 855-728-7500 and also web radio at patriots.com. Todd, why don't you kind of kick things off here with your bottom five, your worst five teams in the NFL. Run through your five teams.
Okay, here we go. So we love to do our power rankings. We do them a couple times a year. And what we do is we don't go through 1 through 32. What we'll do is we'll rank our bottom five, the cellar dwellers, and then we'll rank our top 10 as well. And for all the teams in the middle, well, who the hell cares, right? So my bottom five right now, Bill, and we don't always just do this off of win-loss record. We do it just from what we're seeing on the field. And right now, you know, four of the five teams on my list are teams that you could probably guess. The worst team on my list, number 32, the worst team in the land, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Bill. They're just terrible. Blaine Gabbert, he's out, thank goodness. Chad Henne gives them a little bit of a boost offensively. Justin Blackman's back on offense from suspension. He's looking good. But other than that, they've got nothing. You know, they had a moral victory last week losing to Denver and covering the spread. That's probably going to be the highlight of their season. So they're my worst team. Coming in at number 31, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am not a fan of Greg Schiano. I think he's one of the worst head coaching hires, the most overrated, I should say, head coaching hires of the last couple of years. And, you know, I'm just not a fan of what they're doing. Josh Freeman's out. He's cut. Now he's starting for the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, they've got Mike Glennon, a rookie, at quarterback. What do you think about the Bucs? You with me, Bill? Nope, we're having technical difficulties with Bill here for a second. Number 30 on my list is the New York Giants. One of the most disappointing teams in the land. The New York Giants off to an 0-6 start. This is getting historical for this old NFL franchise. Eli Manning is a turnover machine. David Wilson's injured at running back. The receivers are all over the place. Hakeem Nicks, sometimes he looks like he's playing, sometimes he doesn't. Defense is a shell of themselves, and, you know, they're just the worst team in a very bad NFC East. They come in at number 30. Number 29, the Minnesota Vikings. This team just can't seem to get anything right. They've switched quarterbacks. They've gone from Christian Ponder to Matt Cassel. Now, for God's sakes, they're starting Josh Freeman. So So this is a team going nowhere, in my opinion. They fall in at number 29. Number 28, I'm going to go bold here. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans. I think this team is in a death spiral. You can just call them the Houston Pick Sixes, because no matter who's in there, a quarterback, Matt Schaub, T.J. Yates, the word is they're going to be starting Case Keenum this week. They are grasping for straws right now. And this team is going nowhere fast, and Gary Kubiak needs to somehow, you know, keep this thing from falling apart, and I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
You know, Todd, we were kind of shocked a couple weeks ago when one of our callers suggested that Case Keenum, you know, the fans wanted Case Keenum to become the starter. I kind of scoffed at the thought of it, but here we are heading into week 7, and the local boy, the Houston product, Case Keenum, back in action.
Yeah, you know, the most popular guy on any football team is the backup, right? And in this case, the third-string guy, Case Keenum, he's a local product. He went to the University of Houston and put up ridiculous numbers, setting all sorts of NCAA records in a, you know, one of those gimmicky college spread offenses. So when things have, you know, gone from bad to worse with Schaub, immediately, the fan base is just like grasping for straws and saying, well, let's go with the third string guy. We know him because we saw him in college. Let's put him in there. We know TJ Yates stinks. So,
right.
Unbelievably, that's kind of where they're at now, Bill. I just think that, you know, maybe they aren't the fifth worst team in the league, but I'm going to give them that ranking because they're, I mean, it's really ugly. The fans are ugly down there. The games are ugly. They lost by how many? I mean, the Rams, Bill, they destroyed them.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Texans are one of those teams for the New England fan base out there. You know, they were a team that you had to keep an eye on every year, and a dangerous team that everyone was kind of waiting for them to take the next step, and it turns out that window was getting kind of closer and closer to shutting, and it just slammed shut, Bill. The Texans are no longer a threat in the AFC. So cross them off your list. I think that the Patriots fans got to be happy about that.
All right, Todd, so that was our bottom five teams. We will reveal our top 10 teams in the NFL. You can guarantee that the Patriots made the top five. But we're going to reveal the Football Nation Power Rankings, top 10 teams when we come back. We'll also have ESPN Boston reporter Mike Reese joining us to talk about the Patriots and Jets matchup. That's all coming up next as we're just getting started here on Football Nation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Headlines, stats, fantasy previews, and more right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation, Patriots.com radio. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you, and we are pleased to be joined by ESPN Boston reporter Mike Reese. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. How's everything going?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys. How are we doing today?
You know, we're heading into Week 7. I don't know about you, but the weeks just seem to fly by so fast. Mostly because we have the Monday night game, and then bam, a few weeks later, we're going on Thursday night.
Yeah, it is. I love the rhythm of the NFL season. It's sort of like when you get the mixed up weeks and you play a game on a Monday or a Thursday, you sort of forget that Wednesday is Thursday or Friday is Saturday, and that's sort of the rhythm of the fall, especially this time of year in New England. I love the weather. I love this time of year. So it's gotta love talking football.
Yeah, there's no rest for the weary. I mean, you go right from analyzing the Monday Night Football game on Tuesday to turning the page on Wednesday for the game the next day. There's no break.
That's right.
So, Mike, you know, before we get into the matchup with the Jets, let's talk about what's going on everybody's mind and up there in New England, and that's, you know, Rob Gronkowski. Every week, it's kind of like Groundhog Day. We get the report that he might play. Limited in practice, dominating in practice. He might play at the beginning of the week. By the end of the week, that is squashed. You know, he's not traveling with the team. He's not playing. What is your take on this? What are you making about all the drama that's kind of coming about here regarding Gronk?
I think there's a lot of layers to the situation. You look at the different dynamics in play. You have the team. You have the team doctor. You have Gronkowski himself. You have Gronkowski's family and agent, which are a big part of this. And now you have an independent doctor. So you basically have five layers to the situation, and it doesn't surprise me when you think of it in that respect that things have been a little bit all over the map when it comes to whether he's going to be back or whether he's not going to be back. And so I think at this point, I will just tell you from my perspective, basically I'm at the point of, hey, when he's going to be there, he's going to be there, and when he isn't, he isn't. And right now, the Patriots are 5-1. Yep. When they get him back, he's going to address probably one of their greatest areas of need, which is red zone offense. And so yep. I sort of cut through the drama and say that's the basics of the situation. And let's just wait for the concrete information instead of, you know, hearing one report this, another report that. It almost makes you wonder, really, what you can believe these days. And
yeah.
I don't want to sit here and stand in judgment of any reports because I've been wrong more than my fair share, but that's sort of the way I feel at this point.
Mike, let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. Last week, Patriots did a pretty good job of keeping the Saints offense in check. But now we know Gerard Mayo's out. Vince Wilfork was out for last week's game. He's been out for 2 weeks now. With the injury to Aqib Talib, you know, what do you think this mentality of the Patriots defense is heading into a very familiar AFC East opponent with the Jets?
I think the mentality for the Patriots defense this week has to be physicality, because I think they know that the New York Jets are going to want to try to test them. Like you said, no Wilfork, no Mayo. That's, you know, two key players in the front seven. And to me, if you're Rex Ryan, why don't you try to challenge them and see if they can stop you and try to out-physical them with one of the best centers in the game, Nick Mangold? So I think talking to players this week, the last couple of days, they know this is going to be a physical football game. I thought it was interesting. Bill Belichick, you know, didn't have him in pads on Wednesday when they normally would be. Sometimes he puts him in pads on Thursday, but I think he knows it's going to be a physical game, and he wants his guys fresh and ready to go, and they're going to be tested in the run game. I think that's really the main mentality is next man up, depth, and let's answer the physical challenge.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Bilal Powell this week from the Jets. Probably take the game out of Geno Smith's hands a little bit and try to win a slugfest, you know. And the good news from the Patriots' end of things is, unlike the past couple of years, maybe harkening back 2, 3, 4 years when they had that sexy offense winning games and blowouts, you know, they're kind of winning some games with some grit this year, you know, some close, hard-fought games, and they're winning more of them than they're losing. So that's got to be a good sign heading into the second half of the season.
I don't think there's any question about that. On two fronts, I would say the first is you have so many young players on this roster that, you know, we oftentimes think of the Patriots as a team that knows how to win. But the truth of it is that every year you have to reestablish that. And if we need any shining example of that, how about the New York Giants this year? I mean, who would have thought they would be winless? Well, they've won a lot of big games in over the last decade, but they're not winning them this year. So that's the first point, and I think the second point that comes to mind when you bring up the good topic is what Teddy Bruschi said this week, and when he was asked, you know, does this team remind you of any past Patriots team? And he said, sort of like the 2001 team, and that's not to put any you know, added pressure on the team, and these are his words, but he said, you know, they're winning with defense, they're finding a way to win close games, it's not necessarily with offense, and he had to like the way that season ended.
You're listening to Football Nation on Patriots.com radio. Special guest Mike Reese from ESPN, NFL Nation reporter for the New England Patriots and, of course, ESPN Boston. Mike, let's look ahead to this weekend. Jets and the Patriots, last time these two teams played, you know, it was kind of a rainy game. It was one of those Thursday night games where there's not a lot of time to prepare. How has the Patriots kind of matured or gotten a little bit better in the last few weeks as we've seen them score over 30 points in two of their last three games? Is it the maturity of the wide receivers, or is it a resurgence of this running attack?
Well, I think that I would say it probably comes down to the receivers, and by no means are they a finished product, but Kenbrell Tompkins with that touchdown catch at the end of the game, Aaron Dobson playing 80 snaps last week against the Saints. I mean, we weren't seeing that on week two against the Jets. So that would probably be where I would start. I think the run game is really important to them, but the Jets, and this is a credit to them, very tough to run against. They struggled, you know, rushing the ball in that week two matchup. I think Stephen Ridley, you know, looks a little bit better than what we saw in the season opener than when he was benched, but I think it's going to be tough for them to run the ball. If they do it, it's going to mean that, you know, they blocked exceptionally well, because that's what it takes to run the ball against the Jets. So sort of a long-winded way to answer the question. I don't think it's necessarily one thing. I think it's the sum of all the parts. I do think the offense still has some growing pains that we're seeing, but more than anything, I'd say those young receivers have maybe taken a bigger step since that week two game between the two teams.
Looking ahead to the Patriots versus Broncos matchup, that's way ahead in Week 12. But just looking at the entire NFL season as a whole, this is the biggest game of the year, right?
The Broncos?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's one that everyone's looking forward to. I think the thing is, though, is you see how much things change on a week-to-week basis. I mean, I think I said it today in one of our online chats. you say, you know, tell me what the teams are going to look like that week. Because if you told me that the Patriots weren't going to have Wilfork, Mayo, and Talib this week, I might tell you that this is the toughest game of the year, the most
right.
important game. So, I mean, I think assuming that the Broncos look the way they do now and the Patriots look the way they do now, absolutely. That's going to be a fun one. And I think a lot of people want to see because the Broncos have looked lights out. And I think a lot of the thought process here is, well, let's see what happens when it gets a little bit colder.
Yep.
And there's another couple games under Peyton Manning's belt. And, you know, is he still sustaining? Have people figured out the offense? So definitely be fun. It's just so hard to envision what it's going to look like. I mean, that's still, 6 weeks away. So
yeah.
So much can change between now and then.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. You know, we kind of referenced the sexy offense of the Patriots back when they had Randy Moss and winning in the blowout fashion. That's a lot kind of what the Broncos are doing now. And the question's going to be, you know, because if you look back to those Patriots seasons, they didn't end in a title. Most of the Peyton Manning heyday offensive years did not end in a title. He got one of them in there. You got to wonder, like you said, when it gets colder, when the games get tighter and it's playoff time, you know, do the Broncos have what it takes, you know, down the line? I think that's a huge thing moving forward. Can they win with a great offense and not much of a defense? Or would you rather have a Patriot-type team who can kind of do it both ways? And I think that's going to be the main theme of the playoffs when they start a couple months down the line. So looking forward to that. But the last question I have for you here is, with Wes Welker coming back in Week 12, what do you think his reception is going to be in Gillette? Do you think it's going to be mixed? He's leading the league in touchdowns as we speak. What do you think his reception is going to be back home?
I think it's going to be big cheers. I think at the end of the day, people could really appreciate what he meant to the team, and I think there's probably more disappointment that I sense among the majority of the fan base that he's not still here, especially considering how things have gone in the early going with the primary replacement for him
yep.
in Danny Amendola. So, well, there have been some things said that maybe some people feel like, hey, that's water under the bridge now, let's move on. Such as, you know, Welker's remarks to Sports Illustrated in August. I would say that that's probably the minority for a lot of people. I think they really appreciate what Welker did for this team, how he laid it on the line every week, gave them everything they had. I would expect nothing but rousing cheers for him.
Mike, we appreciate your time, and thank you for joining us here on Patriots.com Radio. Have fun the rest of the season.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
Take care. You can follow Mike on Twitter, at Mike Reese, Reese with two S's at the end. Interesting stuff there, Todd, from the ESPN Insider, or ESPN Boston Insider, considering, you know, he's like the rest of us in terms of Rob Gronkowski. It's kind of just, you know, when it happens, it happens, and until then, let's just focus on the players that are on the field.
Yeah, I think it would be a whole different tone if the Patriots were 3-3,
yep.
you know, 2-4, something like that. But they're 5-1. You know, and I think with all the hell that happened this summer, I mean, all hell is breaking loose with all the crazy stories coming out of New England with everything. I think that any Patriot fan would have been tickled pink, Bill, to have been 5-1 at this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, I think it's interesting with the Wes Welker comments, especially the way, you know, if Danny Amendola was playing every game and if maybe he was leading the league in touchdowns, or if he had more than 30 receptions like it was thought of, that, you know, as we're heading into Week 7, I think people will cheer Welker when he comes back to Gillette. I know
again,
that's a long ways away.
It's a long ways away, but again, it's because they're 5-1, Bill. If they're 3-3 at this point, or 2-4, or what are the fans saying? They're saying, see, we told you. We knew Amendola was an injury risk. We knew Wes Welker was, you know, the man, and look what's happened, you know? He's leading the league in touchdowns, and we're struggling. But that's not what's happening. The Patriots are still struggling on offense from time to time, but they're winning the games. They're getting the job done. They're doing it with a lot of defense. And the question now is going to become, without Wilfork, which is going to take its toll as the year keeps going on, without Mayo, with Talib hurt, I mean, how many injuries can one team take, Bill?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. We'll see what happens. Do we want to make our predictions for the Jets-Pats game now, or do we want to wait until the end of the show?
We always tease it, Bill. We always got to wait till the end.
All right.
You got to make the people stick around for something, Bill.
Oh, Kevin, there you are. What's going on, man?
Sorry, I've been a little busy.
Now, for the people that don't realize, Kevin, our producer, did an excellent job keeping us on air It was a little hectic there for a little bit, but we're...
Some internet issues.
We're in full force right now.
Yeah, I think we sound great now. Making goal radio.
Obviously. And we very much appreciate Mike Reese from ESPN Boston joining us. Todd, you, in the first segment, you kind of went over your bottom five teams, your worst five teams in the NFL. Let's kind of look on the positive note, and let's go over the top 10 teams, Football Nation Power Rankings.
All right, here's what I got, Bill. I'm going to rattle. What do you want me to do? Let me go through 10 through 6.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk, and then we'll go through 5 through 1 at the end.
Right, because okay? Our 5 through 1, same teams, different order, but our 10 through 6 is a little different.
All right, yeah, we each have our own list, so let's debate. Number 10, I've got the Chicago Bears, Bill.
Okay.
All right, number 9, the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, the Colts, coming off a disappointing Monday night, but I'm going to keep them at number 8. Number 7, Cincinnati Bengals. Number 6, I've got the 49ers. They're quietly have won 3 in a row. You know, they're not blowing anybody away, but, Bill, they're 4-2, you know. They're 4-2 through all the turmoil that they've had there in San Fran and the poor play and the injuries that they've had sustained. You know, they're sitting in that wild card spot right now and without too much to worry about, quite honestly.
Yeah.
So where do we differ?
All right. Well, you have the Bears and the Packers. I don't have either of those teams. I have on my list, I'm feeling this team, Todd, and I'm surprised that you're not. San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, they're just on the outside of my list looking in.
So I have the 49ers at 10, the San Diego Chargers at 9, the Detroit Lions, a team that you don't have either. You have the Bears and the Packers. That's
Please.
Where we differ. I have the Lions and the Chargers. You have the Bears and the Packers.
You need to get off the Lions, Bill.
7 Colts, 6 Bengals. Why do I have to get off the Lions? They're right now in the top of the NFC North.
What's
looking good.
They're not going to finish. It's not going to end well for the Lions.
Why not?
Their defense is going to fall apart. Dominican Sue's not going to have any money left in his bank account.
Uh-oh.
Every week.
More fines?
Can this guy get through one game without stomping somebody?
No, he just plays angry.
He's insane.
And dirty.
I mean, he's a loose cannon. I just don't believe in the Lions, Bill. There's just something, dark clouds are over Detroit every year. Something goes wrong with that franchise.
All right.
Their division's tough. I think the Packers are going to rebound, so that's part of my reasoning. I think the Packers are going to turn it around. They're 3-2. They had a bye, so they're only a half game out of first. They get to play all these teams. You know, I think the Packers will come around, and I think that they'll be at the top of their division. The Bears will be in second, and the Lions will be a distant third.
Now, how about the Chargers? Can you see them creeping into the top 10? I loved what I saw from them on Monday night.
Yeah, like I said, the Chargers, to me, they were just, you know, I don't know, maybe I would have had them 11 or 12. They're right there. I kind of like the way that they can win in different ways,
mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like we've been talking about the Patriots. I mean, they just kind of strangled the life out of the Colts the other night.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they just
like
it just seemed like they couldn't – they just had long drives where they kept showing Andrew Luck on the sideline, like just chomping at the bit to get back in the damn game.
There was one point in the second half when there was 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the Colts were coming on the field for their second possession of the second half.
I know.
9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was impressive. It was definitely impressive. Phillip Rivers is playing great. The new coaching staff has injected new life into the offense.
Yep.
I don't trust Ryan Matthews at running back. He's been playing well of late.
I
can't see him sustaining that.
Woodhead's
that's what I was
going
to say. But they got Danny Woodhead, who I love the way they're utilizing him, just the way they should. Perfect. He's Sproles-esque, right?
Yep, yeah.
You know, Keenan Allen's coming on at wide receiver, the rookie from Cal. So they've kind of overcome some injuries to the wide receiver. It's kind of like the Patriots, you know? They had major injuries to the wide receiver. They got rookies in there kind of helping out, you know? And Antonio Gates is the rock at tight end, who's been looking great. So offensively, you know, the pieces are in place. They're an interesting team, Bill. Now, the problem with the Chargers is they got to play the Chiefs twice and the Broncos twice.
Ooh, that is tough. And
they haven't played either team yet. That's, I mean, 1-3, probably, right?
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Yeah, what do you think they're going to – you think they're going to win beat the Chiefs once?
I just think 1-3 is about the maximum. That's the ceiling for those four games. So right now, suddenly, they're 3-3 right now, right?
Right.
So now they're 4-6 at best.
Right, right.
And they're gonna have to figure out a way to go I mean, you gotta win the rest of your games.
And they already play the Raiders, who they already lost to.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you're going to kind of give them 1-3 against the Chiefs and Broncos, then they're going to have to win all their other games to get to 10-6, which 10-6 is usually, you know, playoff bound. So it's going to be tough for the Chargers.
Certainly is going to be tough to the Chargers. All right, what do you say, only because of their division so strong, Broncos and Chiefs. Todd, let's move over to the top five teams. I think both of us agree on the top five teams. Our positioning is a little bit different.
All right, we both have the Broncos at the top and the Saints at number five.
That's right.
Okay. So it's just the guts of the middle. I've got the Chiefs at 4, okay, Patriots 3, Seahawks 2.
Patriots 3, Seahawks 2. I have the Chiefs at 2, Seahawks 3, Patriots 4.
All right, so basically the decision here is it's the Chiefs. The talking point is the Chiefs. I think that if the Seahawks played the Chiefs 10 times today in a neutral site, the Seahawks would win 7 out of 10.
I think it's maybe 50-50. Okay. Possibly swinging in the Chiefs' favor.
Okay.
Now, I know you're going to hammer me for this, but I think the Chiefs' defense is just as good as the Seahawks' defense.
I don't know if it's just as good, but it's good. And, you know, I always talk about how I love the Seahawks partially in the playoffs because of their home field advantage. Well, the Chiefs have a pretty good advantage, too.
They just broke the record for loudest stadium in the
But Arrowhead's always great. It's just a great venue. It's a great loud place, great fans. Fans are there through thick and thin. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you could debate it. I also think that right now, I think the Patriots, and I'd like to get Kevin's point of view on this, if he's still listening, if he hasn't nodded off yet. Patriots-Chiefs, if they played 10 times today at a neutral site, how many would the Patriots win?
I'd say 6.
That's what I say. That's why I have the Patriots ranked slightly ahead of the Chiefs right now. Bill, it's January. It's no matter what stadium it's in, all right, if it's in Arrowhead or if it's in Gillette, it's January, it's cold, it's 28 degrees and wind, and the Patriots and the Chiefs are lining up. I mean, I'm taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the
tough matchup.
In one game, I think I'm taking the Patriots, but I think if they play 10 times, luckily they don't, because I think it would be pretty even. But in one matchup, you have to give the nod to Tom Brady. You have to give the nod to Coach Belichick.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not giving that same nod to the Seahawks. I'm not giving that nod to Russell Wilson. I'm not giving that nod to Pete Carroll. Why? What have they shown that should make me pick them over the Chiefs?
I just think they're a little more solid. Hey, man, the Chiefs, you were right on the Chiefs. I got to give Bill some props here, Kevin.
Here we go.
Bill has been wrong 9 out of 10 times on his predictions.
Ain't that the truth?
He's terrible. He's the worst predictor on the air of all time. However, he was high on the Chiefs. He predicted the Chiefs would go to they'd go to the playoffs this year. And when I laughed at him, I said, well, you know, I think the Chiefs will probably be the most improved team in the NFL, you know, going from 2-14 to maybe 7-9.
Right.
That's what I thought they would do. But, Bill, it's looking more like they're going to win, you know, on the north end of 9 or 10 wins. So,
I mean, they're already at 6.
Props. Yeah, give you props for that, buddy.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that stuff.
But, see, there's some things you're forgetting. While things are going great for the Chiefs right now, remember how Andy Reid coached in the playoffs for the Eagles?
What? He brought up the 4 division NFC championships.
What happened?
He still brought his team to 4 NFC championships.
Yep. And what happened?
They lost.
They lost 4 of 5. And they went to the Super Bowl the other time and lost.
Yeah.
Hello, you play to win the game.
He did so, Bill, in a terrible... Now, again, I love Andy Reid. Greatest coach in Eagles history, of course. He did it in a terrible NFC. The NFC was so watered down during those years.
That's true.
Every team was bad. He was beating, you know, Michael Vick and Dante Culpepper in the playoffs. And
Dante Culpepper.
Yeah, he's losing to Jake Delhomme,
Rex Grossman,
Brad Johnson. Yeah, I mean they were just no studs back then. It was a kind of a changing of the guard. Favre was in his last couple of years.
Yep.
So Favre had a couple moments here and there. I just think the AFC is just so much tougher right now. I mean, I think that's once he gets deeper into the playoffs, I think that the Chiefs are going to have a tough time in the playoffs.
Funny because in the beginning of the season, we kind of thought the NFC would be the lockdown division or the lockdown conference, and the AFC would be pretty open. But here we are in week seven, and it's the exact opposite. Seahawks and Saints are on top of the NFC, but then you have the Patriots, the Broncos, the Chiefs.
I'm looking
Bengals
forward.
Are looking good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the AFC in the playoffs. I know we're jumping months ahead here.
Yeah,
but I think injecting a new team, like, it's always kind of cool when that preseason sexy team, like, which was the Chiefs, everybody
comes to life.
You know, everybody thought the Chiefs would be better when they actually are better, and they're actually like, wow, they're actually pretty legit. Like, that makes it interesting in the AFC. You know, rather than like the Steelers for the 100th time in a row.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'd rather have like a new team like the Chiefs in there and a fan base that's like ridiculously excited. You know, a game in Arrowhead, a playoff game in Arrowhead. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The place would be
nuts. Time that happened.
If things ended now, you'd have the Patriots, you'd have the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Colts, you know, Andrew Luck, see if he can take it a step further. Bengals. And then the question would be, Bill, who would be that last wild card team in the AFC right now?
That's the money question right there.
Yeah. I mean, you got your Chargers.
Could be
really
the Chargers.
To me, yeah, no, it could be Chargers, Dolphins, Ravens.
See, I'm not very high on the Ravens.
No, I'm just saying, though, to me, those are the three teams that, you know, would be in the mix for that last spot.
Not giving the Titans any love?
No.
What about the Cleveland Browns?
No.
New York Jets?
No.
We know it's not going to be the Texans, who, by the way, are starting Case Keenum under center this week.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the earlier. Yeah, that's craziness. Well, hey, you know, it might be just crazy enough to jumpstart them. Who knows? You know, they need something major to happen down there. I mean, Houston, we have a problem.
That's crazy.
The week. So that's the interesting thing to me, Bill, is that wild card, that last wild card spot. I know we're jumping way ahead here, but that last wild card spot's going to be fascinating in the AFC.
And then the NFC, it's kind of anyone's game in terms of those wild card spots.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Here's how I look at the NFC. I think you've got one representative will come out of the NFC East. That's it.
Okay.
I only think one team will be 500 or above. And probably it would be Dallas, but
yeah,
you know, Dallas plays the Eagles this week. We'll see. I just think the Eagles will be 500-ish. Dallas might be able to, you know, go 9-7, something like that. So you're going to have one out of the NFC East. I think you're only going to have one out of the NFC South. That's where the Saints are, okay? Because the Panthers, Falcons, and Bucks all stink, right?
Right.
Seattle's going to be in. You know that. And I think the Niners are going to be in again. So they're going to be one of the wild card spots out of the NFC West. And then really, it's going to come down to the NFC North, in my view. I think you're going to have your Lions, Bill,
right.
The Bears, and the Packers fighting it out for two of the three spots.
So we know one of the division teams, one of the teams will win the division. So it's really just one of two teams to get that final wild card.
That's how I think it'll play out.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Todd.
I mean, is any other team in the NFC, like, forget the NFC North, is any team like capable of streaking other than
the
front runners? Like, can you see Carolina winning 6 of 7?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Falcons, no.
Rams?
No. Giants, no. Redskins, no. I think you're right. NFC North. That's where the action's going down.
Yeah, and the Vikings are just bad enough, which is probably a good thing, that it'll be, you know, those three teams fighting for two spots. So.
We're going streaking through the quad and into the gymnasium.
Yeah. None of these NFC teams
are. Todd said streaking.
I said streaking about 95 seconds ago.
He had to look for it.
Hey, you think KFC's still open?
Oh, Kevin. So that's how I think it'll shake out. And you know what? I don't think any of this is going to matter because it's going to be Seattle, baby. The Osprey, Bill.
You think Seattle. I think Saints.
Saints better get home field, dude.
Well, we'll see what happens, but I think that New Orleans is just as tough a place to play as Seattle is. Just as tough.
I don't think so.
What do you mean, nope?
I don't think it is.
You don't think the Superdome
is... Very dismissive right there, Bill.
Yes, for real. Well, you don't think this
basically just called you an idiot and stomped on your dreams.
That's what I think he did too, Kev. Slow it down, DeVries. The Superdome is just as loud, is just as crazy, it's just as...
There's no elements, dude.
Yeah, because it's in a dome. Everything's closed in.
Yeah, so there's no advantage there for anybody. It's just there. It's
air conditioning. I think the Saints have a tremendous advantage when they're playing at
Seattle in January. It's all rainy, and no one wants to be there except for the fans. The other team's like, what are we doing? We just traveled 9 million miles to get out here. Where are we? We're in Canada. Where are we?
Seattle's basically Canada. Remember where
I know. No one wants to play up there.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, Seattle, if they get home field advantage, they're not going to have to leave that area for a month. They're just going to hang out and let everybody come to them, and they'll just beat them down one at a time.
Yeah. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com is our email address. We're going to be taking your fantasy football calls and emails in the next segment. Also, our good friend, Kerry Byrne from coldhardfootballfacts.com, is going to join us to talk about the NFL's smartest and dumbest teams. That's all coming up next right here on patriots.com radio.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Football Nation. Bill Enright, Todd DeVries hanging out with you. Another hour left in today's show, so if you have a fantasy football question for Week 7, now is the time to get it answered. 855-728-7500, 855-PATS-500. You can also email us. Webradiopatriots.com. We're going to the phone lines now, Todd, where Adam in Kentucky wants a question about his 10-team standard league. What's up, Adam?
How you doing, guys?
Doing all right, man. How can we help you this week?
I had a question about tonight's game because I can't pick a right Thursday night game. I've messed up every year.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know if I need to, if I can start Larry Fitzgerald tonight or being banged up, or if I should start Kimbrel Tompkins or Dwayne Bowe this weekend.
Well, I'm not going with Dwayne Bowe. What kind of scoring system is your league?
Standard 6-point touchdown, 10 yards a point.
No points per reception.
No PPR.
Yeah, so you know Larry Fitzgerald was a little bit more banged up last week, and then we saw that monster game that he had. To me, I always start my studs, and I consider Larry Fitzgerald an elite option. I'm not going to start him over Kimbrel Tompkins. I mean, I'm not going to start Kimbrel over Fitz this weekend, Todd. I don't know if you agree with me there.
I agree with you. I'm not thrilled with any of your options, to be honest with you. I mean, the nickname for Dwayne Bowe is Oh No Bowe, right?
Yeah.
He's been horrendous. Tompkins has obviously caught the big one last week, but they're playing the Jets, Bill. I don't see a lot of touchdowns in that game.
Right.
Larry Fitz is a guy that continues to get it done. You know, he's not putting up the numbers that he did in his heyday, but he had the big touchdown last week, and we saw Seattle, Bill, struggle against the Colts a couple weeks ago. T.Y. Hilton had a huge game against Seattle, shockingly,
sure did.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's possible. Thursday night games are typically sloppy, so you never know what's going to happen. And by sloppy, Bill, you know, that could mean that the Seattle defense isn't up to par, as they usually are. So I'd play Larry Fitz.
Yeah, I would go with Larry Fitz too, Adam, and best of luck to you week 7. Is that your only question?
If you had time, another one. I got Trent Richards and Mojo. Is there anything I could expect to trade for? I would not get enough.
You wouldn't get enough at this point. You really have to wait for Trent Richardson to have a big game. I mean, I think he's had 6 or 5 points the last 2 weeks. His best performance yet was when he was playing against that first week, actually, when he was with the Colts, when he got into the end zone. But until that happens, you're not going to get much in return for him. It's really unfortunate.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem, Adam. Appreciate the phone call. What do you think of Trent Richardson thus far, Todd? Major bust.
Oh, geez. Just terrible. I mean, you know, we watched him on Monday night, Bill, and other than the one screen pass that he had where he looked like, you know, a dominant player, every other play, he just looked very ordinary.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And it'd be one thing if he was ordinary and he was getting the touches, but in that game, now again, Seattle played keep away. We talked about it in the last segment. Seattle's time of possession was ridiculous, and they were playing from behind. Still, Trent only had 10 carries in that game, Bill, and Donald Brown continues to see carries.
From what I've seen, it's two series for Trent Richardson, one series for Donald Brown. Seems to be like a 2-for-1 ratio.
Yeah. Oh, well, Trent's been a bust so far. I'm not giving up complete hope yet. He's on a good team.
Right.
And if you believe in what John Gruden was saying on Monday night, it sounded like, you know, Trent still didn't know the whole playbook. Because there were times where he blew some pass protection.
Yeah.
He was getting Andrew Luck lit up. So maybe he's just, you know, to take a little longer than we thought for him to get everything figured out. But even then, Bill, it doesn't take you don't have to know the playbook to get the ball and run with it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, when the ball's in his hands, he just doesn't look that good. He's getting tackled at the line of scrimmage. Now, if you remember, Todd, earlier in the season, Jim Irsay, the outspoken owner of the Indianapolis Colts, did come out and say that his offensive line has to do a better job. They weren't protecting Andrew Luck at the time. They weren't blocking for Ahmad Bradshaw. So maybe we have to look at the offensive line a little bit and blame it on and, you know, credit that to the struggles that we're seeing right now with Trent.
Yeah. Well, step it up, Trent, please, because this is getting old, man. I've got him in one of my leagues, Bill, and I plug him in every week, and, you know, every week I get the same result back.
Yeah, I hear
which is not very exciting. Now, again, it'd be one thing if he starts catching the football, too, if you're in a PPR league. But he used to be a great receiving running back. Last year he caught, what, 52 balls last year?
Yeah, had 50 catches with the Browns.
So, you know, maybe
12 touchdowns, 950 yards, and he played half the year with broken ribs.
I know. I don't get it. The Browns knew what they were doing, it looks like, so far.
855-728-7500 is the phone number. We're going to go down to Miami where Avi is waiting. What's up, Avi? How's it going today?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
We're doing all right, man. What do you got for us?
Oh, real quick, how's the weather up there?
Ugh, not as good as it is down by you, bro.
Yeah, you always say, like you said that last week, man. It's not that great down here. It's like humid. You know, there's no pina coladas. There's no pool. Like, I'm hiding in a closet right now at work trying to talk to you guys.
Yeah, at any time of the day, you can go to the beach, you can skip out on work, and you can see some females in thongs. I do not have that luxury.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right. I'm going to close that.
All
that's true.
Okay. All right. So what do you got for us?
All right, man. So last week, you guys told me to plug in Fred Jackson, and he didn't really pan out. But this week, I want to plug him in as my running back, too, against Miami. Mm. I know CJ, I think CJ, is he healthy?
Yeah, he's getting healthier by the day, and I think he's going to get more carries than Fred Jackson this week.
No, I think so, too. I know they plug Fred, like, you know, near the goal line, and I know he catches the ball, too. So, I mean, I have Ridley, and I have D'Angelo Williams, but I don't think Ridley's going to do too much against the Jets.
I agree with that.
D'Angelo, I don't know about D'Angelo, man.
Yeah, I think D'Angelo could be a very sneaky starter this week. He's playing against the St. Louis Rams. They are the worst rushing defense in the entire league.
Thank you, my friend. That's good to know.
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, just real quick, 153 yards and a touchdown last week, 88 yards to MJD, 208 yards and 3 touchdowns to Frank Gore and company on Thursday Night Football a few weeks back. And then even DeMarco Murray, remember that big game he had, 193 yards and a touchdown? That was in week 3. The Rams, the worst rushing defense. Now, the only caveat with D'Angelo Williams is Cam Newton takes away some of those goal line looks.
Right. Right.
So it's a high-risk, high-reward play. If Cam doesn't get into the end zone and he hands the ball off to D-Will, then you'll be really fortunate that you started him.
Okay. That's good to know. All right.
Your two options are C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson, or your third option is D'Angelo Williams?
Yeah, because I have Marshawn tonight. And then for running back, too, I was thinking between those three guys, between Ridley, Red, or D. Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I have Williams just ranked just a few spots ahead of C.J. Spiller this week.
Okay. All right. No, I'll definitely take that in consideration.
All right.
Let me see what else. Okay, so, I mean, this is kind of like a no-brainer here for tight ends. I have Graham from the Texans, which he didn't pan out yet last week.
No, he did not.
I don't know what the quarterback status is down there. And then I have Clay from Miami. And, you know, like, I wasn't expecting too much from him from the start, but every time I see, like, he's on my bench and he keeps scoring touchdowns. You know,
yeah,
it's not a lot of yardage.
Right.
Get points.
He's looking pretty good, sure.
Yeah.
Todd can probably speak to Case Keenum's skill set a little bit better than I can, only because he's followed him, I don't know, since he was a sophomore or a junior in college. Todd, what do you talk about Case Keenum for a little bit.
Yeah, well, they ran a spread offense, one of those gimmicky spread offenses at Houston, and actually his head coach at the time was Kevin Sumlin, who's now the head coach at A&M with Johnny Manziel.
Right.
So it's a lot of quick passes. He would throw it 50 or 60 times a game there. And he set all sorts of crazy NCAA records. They never had a tight end at Houston. They literally didn't have a tight end position. They would just throw five wides out, you know. So, you know, if you're talking tight ends with Case Keenum, who the hell knows whether he'll utilize it or not. But you would think, Bill, if, you know, he's getting his first start, any first-time starter seems to check it down, right?
Yep.
And hopefully you would think that the tight end is one of the checkdowns. So, you know, not terribly high on Garrett Graham this week, but I guess, you know, maybe he can have a little bit of a breakout if Case Keenum's not being able to look deep and he looks for the short patterns.
The bottom line to me is this. I love the matchup for Charles Clay. I hate the matchup for Garrett Graham. He's playing against the Chiefs.
Yeah,
I do not trust any player against the Chiefs this weekend other than Arian Foster. So I would go with Charles Clay.
Do you know if they're playing in Houston or in Kansas City?
It's in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think that's a no.
Yeah, if your options are Clay and Garrett Graham, I think it's a no-brainer to go Clay.
Yeah, go with Clay.
Yeah, I mean, at least for this week. I mean, maybe like down the line I might switch it up. But
yeah,
all right.
Sure.
All right, and then one more question, guys.
Yeah, sure.
Now, this is for my flex. Now, most of the times I usually use a running back for my flex. I'm really high on that, but I have Antonio Brown for my flex this week, and I think he's playing Baltimore, you know. And, again, he's one of those guys that I always leave him on the bench because I don't need him at the time, and I get points from that man, you know.
Sure.
It's a standard league. It's not PPR, but I think this week he might you know, go crazy on the Ravens.
So is it Antonio Brown or C.J. Spiller? Is that your dilemma?
No. It'd be Antonio Brown. I got Kimbrel Tompkins. I also have I just picked up that guy from the Chargers, Allen.
Keenan Allen, yep.
Yeah, I still need to see more from him though. I can't just throw him in there, you know? It's not like I'm 5-1, I'm 3-3. So
I don't know, man. Listen, I really like Keenan Allen a lot. He was one of my top 20 wide receivers last week. But I do have Antonio Brown ranked higher than him this week, and I have Brown at 16, Allen at 23.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who does Allen play, do you know?
Keenan Allen's playing up against the Jaguars. You know, and it's funny, too, because both of these guys are excellent in the PPR format. Unfortunately, you're not in that kind of scoring league.
Right, right.
So I am going to give the nod a little bit to Antonio Brown. He has a better TD tendency than Keenan Allen at this point.
All right.
And that's what will really separate the two. One of them is going to get into the end zone. You know, Brown's a big play guy. Keenan Allen's a little bit of a possession guy, but he does have the ability to run some different routes.
Okay. All right. I think that's it. I just want to say something real quick, man. You know these girls and thongs down here?
There's
three ways you get these girls, right?
All right, what are they?
All right, you have a Maserati.
Yep.
All right. You throw the ball like Tom Brady, which I can't do that.
Okay.
You know? Or you're really good at fantasy. That's I didn't know that. Listen, bro, I didn't know that until, like, lately, you know? So, like, that's what I'm calling you guys.
Well, yeah, maybe I should try to relocate because I don't drive a Maserati and I don't throw the ball like Tom Brady, but I'm pretty damn good at fantasy football.
and you talk football, like they just think you're this hot stuff, and I'm really not. But so I need to win this week. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, so, well, hopefully next week you're calling us and there's some women in the background.
I'm not hiding in the closet.
Yeah, there you go. We're not taking that. We're taking that in the literal sense, by the way. You hiding in the closet.
I appreciate it. Yeah. No, don't think it like that.
But, all right, Avi, appreciate the phone call. Best of luck to you in week 7, and call back next week after you get a win in week 7. Pretty entertaining there, Todd. What do you think about the women in Miami? They like fantasy football players? That can't be true.
Do you think Avi has pickup lines, like fantasy football pickup lines?
Show me your TDs. That's one of them.
That's one of them? Okay. I'm sure that would fly over real well. No, I was talking about, you're at the bar, you pony up to the bar, you buy a nice lady a drink, and, start talking about Keenan Allen, how great Keenan Allen is in a PPR format. Think that would turn her on?
See, do you think any, what would make sense is, do you think any of these women down there in Miami, are they Hurricane fans? Then you can start bringing up, well, hey, Reggie Wayne is on my fantasy team. Andre Johnson is on my fantasy team.
Okay.
But if they don't know any of the Hurricane players, then it doesn't really pan out.
I don't think most people down in Miami are sports fans at all.
They're beach fans.
They're just there to be in Miami.
Right.
They don't care about sports teams.
Yeah, that's true.
855-728-7500.
We're going to stick it with Florida. Stick with it in Florida. We're going to go to Todd in Jacksonville. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, man. What do you got for us today?
Hey, I got want to know your thought on this trade that I just talked this guy into. I have Ryan Matthews that I've been trying to get rid of because I have a bye week issue in week 8. I sent an email to you on Tuesday about it.
Okay.
I had Chris Johnson and Ray Rice. And my wide receivers are pretty banged up. I got Randall Cobb. He's gone for pretty much the whole season.
Yeah.
And Roddy White. So basically, and I have Keenan Allen, and he's on a bye in week 8. So I got this guy to do a trade, Ryan Matthews, for Mike Wallace.
All right. Who are your running backs?
Ray Rice, CJ Noke. I just picked up Ridley off waivers. Someone got sick of him and dropped him.
Dumped him, okay.
I had Matthews and Joseph Randle.
I don't think that's a bad trade. It does sound like you need help at wide receiver, and I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Wallace starts to get things going here. I think he's an excellent buy-low candidate, and that's exactly what you did. Let's see what happens when they're coming off the bye now that they're going to take on the Buffalo Bills. You remember his last game, he had 105 yards, and that was just, 2 weeks ago in week 5 against the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that's a good trade. I don't trust Ryan Matthews, and Todd, I know you don't either.
I don't trust him at all. This is a PPR league, right? So I think you got the better end of this deal. Absolutely.
Oh, cool. And so who do you think I should start this week? My running back and my flex position? Because they got CJ. He's going against San Fran. Ridley going against the Jets. Randle going against Philly. And, Rice. So I need two of those guys. I was thinking, obviously, Rice probably no-brainer. But at the same time, he's going against what Pitt.
Yeah, you have to play Ray Rice. He's your number one running back.
Right.
To me, it's between Chris Johnson and Joseph Randle. Do you trust Chris Johnson against the Niners, Todd? I mean, San Fran is not the defense that they once were. Now that Alden Smith is out, Patrick Wilson is a little bit banged up.
I don't trust Chris Johnson now.
So you're going with Joseph Randle against the Eagles?
I think Randle's boom or bust. We talked about it before, Bill, with the Cowboys. The Cowboys could decide just to throw the ball 50 times on Sunday.
That's true.
Who knows, against the Eagles secondary. And if they do that, hopefully Randall catches 3, 4, 5 of those,
Right.
But I don't know that they're going to, turn to Joseph Randall, the rookie, and say, okay, you're going to be the workhorse on Sunday. I don't think it's going to go like that. But I do think he's got some – it's the Eagles, Bill. So if they can get inside the 5 – Randle could score a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, he certainly can. And we'll see.
I don't see the Titans getting inside the 5 too often. Of course, Chris Johnson, he doesn't score. He hasn't scored a rushing touchdown all year.
Right. He's only going to score unless he breaks one.
He breaks a big one.
Right, right.
So I don't know. Which way would you go on this?
I kind of would lead toward Randall. I'd be honest with you. I might go with the higher upside here.
The last 2 weeks combined, granted, they're up against the Chiefs and the Seahawks, two tough defenses. He has Chris Johnson has 22 rushes for 50 yards.
Right.
Combined.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not good. So I think there's a little more upside with Randall, but he's also a bust candidate as well. But hey, you picked up Randall, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to use him, what better week to use him than this week against one of the worst defenses in the league?
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, because DeMarco Murray could be back in a couple weeks, and then that could be the end of Randall.
All right, so I got Dez and Al on the wide receiver, so I now swap Wallace in for my flex instead of CJ.
Randall. So now it becomes a question of Randall, right? Randall or Wallace?
Well, if you're putting Randall in as a run back.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you had room in for him. Mike Wallace or Chris Johnson? Now the question is, Todd.
Are we in a PPR?
Yeah.
Yeah, we are, right?
Yeah, yeah. I might go with Wallace.
Yeah, I think Wallace.
Yeah, I like Mike Wallace a lot this week, actually, because the
Buffalo. I guess Buffalo?
Bills, yeah, they let up a lot of long plays. I would go with Mike Wallace, Todd.
Mike Wallace had 16 targets last game.
Yep.
That's a lot.
In my opinion, excellent buy low candidate. So I think you did a good job there, Todd and Jacksonville, of getting in Mike Wallace.
And anytime you can get rid of Ryan Matthews for something, that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was kicking myself in the ass just before drafting him.
Well, now you don't have to worry about it.
Now you don't have to worry about it anymore, right?
Nice work.
So, all right, guys. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care, Todd. Appreciate the phone call.
All right.
Yeah, he did well there. That's a good thing. You know, Ryan Matthews, there's times where he's sitting there and all the other running backs are gone, Bill, and you grab a guy like Ryan Matthews, and then right about now, weeks 4, 5, 6, 7, you're like, why the hell did I draft this guy?
Right.
And then you try to dump him, and that's what he was able to do. So good job there.
All right, Todd, let's take a quick break as we're expecting Kerry Byrne in the next segment. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll go over the smartest and dumbest teams in the NFL, according to the coldhardfootballfacts.com interview with Kerry Byrne coming up next right here on Football Nation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL.
Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You're as cold.
You don't look at stats or chicken wings the way Kerry Byrne does. It's time for the cold, hard football facts right here on Football Nation.
All right, welcome back to Patriots.com Radio as we are joined by Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Kerry, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in.
How are you doing, gentlemen?
Doing great, well, man. What have you been up to?
Excuse me? I heard both of you at once. I'm sorry.
We both asked the same question. We said, we're doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, too, guys. I appreciate you asking.
Kerry, as we like to bring you on, you always bring a unique perspective inside the world of NFL, the world of football. Right now, the intelligence index, which is only found at coldhardfootballfacts.com, it's on fire, Kerry. You're identifying the smartest and dumbest teams in the NFL. What do you say we kind of go through the list here, kind of look at the Week 7 matchups? Who are some of the mismatches in terms of dumb and smart teams?
Well, first of all, real quick, the Intelligence Index, Bill, what it does is we measure how each team plays in situational football. You hear about that a lot, but nobody really measures it. It's something people do with the eye test, and we quantify it with our Intelligence Index. And what we find are smart teams win a lot of games and dumb teams lose a lot of games. And, right now, we've identified 11 what we call mental mismatches this season. And those teams are 9-2 against the spread, 10-1 straight up, 9-2 against the spread. They not only win, they win big because, quite frankly, they're just playing smarter football. It's simple as that. Mm.
So this week, You've got a really smart team. I'm imagining they're very smart. The Kansas City Chiefs, they've got to rank high on your index, correct?
Yeah. Specifically, Kansas City Houston is one of our mental mismatches this
right.
week. And maybe the biggest mental mismatch of the season, Kansas City right now number one on the intelligence index, the smartest team in football, the most well-coached team in football, a tribute to the job Andy Reid's done this season. And Houston, number 32, the dumbest team in football. Not only are they struggling at 2-4, they're 0-6 against the spread. it's no coincidence that the dumbest team in football is having trouble meeting public expectations because they're doing all the little things wrong and taught. One great example of the power of situational football as measured by our intelligence index. Houston right now may be the most physically gifted team in football. They are number one in what we call total team yards differential. That's all yards you gain on both sides of the ball and on all sides of the ball. It's offense, defense, special teams. You know, if you return an interception 75 yards, we count that in total team yards. If you return a kickoff, you know, 50 yards, we count that in total team yards. Houston is number one in the differential between how many yards they produce, total team yards they produce, and how many they give up. They're the best team in football physically by this measure, but they can't win a game because they're so stupid. They do all these stupid things, including, you know, the Matt Schaub pick sixes, and now, you know, it looks like he's not playing this week. This is a team that struggled, not because it's not physically gifted, but because it is stupid. A dumb football team, Todd.
Yeah, it's that looks like a mental mismatch for the ages. I mean, my God, now there's reports that the Houston Texans will be starting Case Keenum at quarterback this week.
Oh, boy.
So they're just kind of grasping at straws to try to jump.
How do you want to be Case Keenum, Todd? In his second NFL season, has never thrown a pass. He's playing the Chiefs, not only the smartest team in football, but number one in scoring defense, number one in defensive passer rating, the best pass defense in football. That's not a way you want to start your NFL career. This could be ugly at a number of levels.
In Arrowhead,
which has been now documented, at least for this week, the loudest arena in football. I like this little battle they have going on between Kansas City and Seattle. The Chiefs seem to be the loudest fans. And right now, I believe Kansas City holds that title. That's going to be a rocking place because this team is probably going to be 7-0 after 2-14 last year. And to me, guys, the best team in the AFC right now. Forget Denver. The best all-around team in the AFC right now are the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow. So they're better than the Broncos right now. Now, we're going to find out. They're going to play a couple times here in the near future. So you think that right now they stack up better than the Broncos?
Right now, right now, absolutely. Because, you know, everyone falls in love with offensive teams, those sexy offensive teams, which Denver is right now, right? But they're a team with, you know, as we said, springing statistical leaks defensively. They're not a great all-around team right now. They're a great offense with as we saw particularly in the Dallas game, a bad defense. It's simple as that. It's not even a mediocre defense. It's a bad defense right now. In fact, we cited this at our real and spectacular pick at Cold Hard Football Facts Insider. The Broncos played the Colts this week, as we all know, the Peyton Manning homecoming game. The Colts have given up 19 points or less in 4 of 6 games this year. Wow. Denver has not held a single opponent to less than 19 points. They are not, you know, even the Jaguars scored 19 on them. This is not a good defensive club, guys. And those great offensive teams, like the Colts, that don't have great defenses, they're not there at the end of the year. They're not there. You know, they lose in the playoffs almost without fail.
Yeah, we talked about that with our previous guest, Mike Reese from ESPN Boston, Bill. Yep. We talked about how these sexy teams with these great offenses, they look great in the regular season, but in the playoffs, you better be able to win multiple ways when it's January, it's 28 degrees outside, and the wind's howling. You know, you can't just be airing it out 45 times a game.
Hey, John, we did in the offseason at Cold Hard Football Facts an entire study called the Big T's, why great offenses never put out in the playoffs. And what we found is 55 teams in NFL history scored 30 points or more per game over the course of an entire season. Almost all of them, only a couple won championships, and those were teams that were balanced with also good defenses. Not only did they not win playoff games, they, on average, scored almost 3 touchdowns fewer per game in their final playoff game than they did throughout the regular season. 3 touchdowns less. These are teams that get beat up in the playoffs, and Peyton Manning had those teams with the Colts for all those years. The Patriots have been that team from 2007 to 2012. Historically great offenses that didn't get it done when it mattered most because they didn't have great defenses. And, you know, right now the Broncos are looking like that team. I do not have the faith in the Broncos speeder at the end that the general pigskin public does.
Well, I hope that the Patriots fans are paying attention because, Kerry, I know you'll agree with this one. You know, with all those high-flying offensive fireworks they had over the years with Randy Moss, you know, they were titleless teams. You harken back to the years where they won the Super Bowls, It's kind of like this year. Now, I know they've got a lot of injuries this year. That might be the differentiating factor. But they're winning ugly. They're finding ways to win. They can win a high-scoring game if they need to, but they can win an ugly game, too.
Yeah, they can. We called it the Get Tough or Die Patriots. It was an old song way before Bill's time, that's for sure.
Uh-oh.
Called A Boy Named Sue. Remember, it's an old Johnny Cash song.
Oh, I know that
Boy
song.
Because the world was tough, and if a man was going to make it, he had to be rough, something like that. And the Patriots were not a tough team in the recent years, and this year they are. They had to, and in the song, the father advised the son, I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And the son got tough and thrived. And that's what the Patriots are this year. On offense, as we know, they had to get tough or die. And right now they've got tough, and they're thriving, guys. And not only that, I mean, they've won two pretty much shootouts against Atlanta and New Orleans, the undefeated Saints. If I'm a Patriots fan, I'm feeling very good about the way this team is built. The injuries are, of course, a problem. But this is a team that seems built to win nasty, ugly games like they did against the Jets in Week 2. This is a team I enjoy watching much more than I enjoyed watching the 2007 Patriots. And by the way, speaking of mental mismatches, this is one of those games, guys. Patriots-Jets are one of those two mental mismatches we've cited this week.
Carrie, what are some of the other mental mismatches that you're looking forward to in Week 7?
Well, those are the two. This week we try to be pretty judicious in which ones we highlight. So right now it's the Patriots versus the Jets. The Patriots, very smart, number 6 on the intelligence index. And the Jets, very dumb, number 28 on the intelligence index. And then the intelligence apocalypse we talked about with the number 1 ranked Chiefs against the 32nd ranked Texans. So those are really kind of the big ones we're looking at right now, based purely on that measure of how they perform in situational football.
Carrie, another section of the ColdHardFootballFacts.com website that I always check out is the King of Props. You have a writer who is having a phenomenal season providing prop analysis, and we're all familiar with prop bets around Super Bowl time, but what people don't realize is you can place those type of bets every week.
There are dozens of prop bets issued, player props, team props issued, in addition to the point spread. And the King of Props, what makes him great, by the way, 16-8 right now. He's had 2-4-0 weeks so far this season. He gives us 4 props each week, 1 on Thursday, 2 on Sunday, 1 on Monday. At Code Hustle Ball Fats Insider for our premium members, where we provide the really juicy stuff, Todd, all the kind of really good stuff, where we apply all our numbers to the folks who want to know who's going to win and lose games or win and lose props. And his record is phenomenal, and the reason why is props are not as heavily analyzed and overanalyzed the way point spreads are. So if you're looking for value, if you're looking for a way to beat the marketplace, to outsmart the competition, if you will, you can always find weaknesses in various prop lists, and that's what he does. He's 16-8, and a couple of them are real close, but 16-8, 667 right now with his picks so far this season. A phenomenal track record. And some of these guys, he's put to bet by halftime. I'd have to go back through a whole list of all our props this year. But, for the sake of argument, Giovanni Bernard, more than, 3.5 catches. Some of these he's had in bet by halftime. He was going to bet at halftime knowing he had a winning prop that evening.
I remember the one with Michael Vick, rushing yards for Michael Vick, and his first run of the night was already beat the spread,
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he had a couple like that where he, like I said, by halftime, he's put these to bed. And it's just, we have a lot of great info at Code Hard Football Facts. Like I said, the really juicy stuff, Todd, is that Code Hard Football Facts Insider, where he just, he does a great job finding weaknesses in the marketplace, for lack of a better term.
Well, that's...
Carrie, just for the record, what's that Bengals running back's name?
Did I say it right?
I don't know.
Is that Giovanni Bernard?
Yeah, there you go.
Was that a Boston joke?
Yeah. I have a Jersey accent, so I have to take my shots when I can. All right? I see a shop. That was a layup for me. I had to take it. people knock me all day for my accent, so
I didn't realize that was a word that was spoken with a Boston accent, but I guess it is if you caught me.
Yeah, Bernard.
Giovanni Bernard. It sounds good when I say it, I think, Bill.
No, it does sound good. What do you call it? The Queen's English?
The King's English.
The King's English, oh.
King's English, yes.
Kerry Byrne from Cold Hard Football Facts. Always fun having you on. We appreciate the unique insight. The Intelligence Index, you have to check it out. Become a coldhardfootballfact.com insider. And the king of props, man, hey, he is on fire. You'll certainly want to get in on the action. Find out what he's picking this week. He's got, what is it, four bets this week, Kerry?
Yeah, one. He already has his prop up today for tonight. He'll have two Sunday, one Monday. And between the King of Props and the Intelligence Index, 25 and 10 right now this season.
Not too shabby. Right.
Pretty remarkable.
Awesome stuff, as always, Kerry. We appreciate you joining us. Have fun in week 7.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Take care.
You took your shot there, Bill.
I had to take it while I was there. You know, sometimes when the ball's in your hands, you got to take the shot.
Unlike LeBron.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess. LeBron had a couple clutch shots this year, didn't he?
I refuse to believe that.
Oh, okay. You see Dwight Howard wants his number retired? with the Magic?
I can't focus on NBA
right now.
Let's get back.
Let's get back to football. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. You can hit us up on the phone lines, 855-728-7500. Todd, we do have a lot of emails to get to. We try to help out as many people as possible in the next 15 minutes.
Yeah, we're going to have to really crank through these. So this is the focus for the next 15 minutes, emails and phone calls, and that's it.
Wheeling and dealing, limousine riding, jet flying.
At the very end, we'll get we'll make our Patriot Jets predictions, and Kevin will be wrong again. Right?
Yeah.
That's one when we predict the Patriots games, Bill. That's where you look smart and Kevin looks dumb.
Well, that's because I know football.
Yeah. There you go. First email is from Sea Dog, Bill.
Sea Dog.
Now Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
Insight, yes. Predictions, no.
I think he plays that clip on a loop at his house.
He definitely does.
Yeah.
Who was he talking about originally?
Kevin will come back from it.
Kevin Falk?
He's come back from everything in his life. You know, Kevin's a fighter, man. He's a warrior.
Who was he originally talking about? Kevin Falk?
Me, man. You didn't hear that presser?
No. Well, I mean.
This was when I originally joined the team in 2010. They had a press conference, press conference.
And what was it referring to?
My greatness.
Let's hear it one more time.
So the part about he's come back from things worse before, well, what is that in reference to?
Probably my grades in college.
Oh, okay.
Kevin's going to be dealing with what Kevin's got to deal with.
What do you have to deal with, Kev?
See, Tom's standing up for me. He's telling you to buzz off.
But what did you have to deal with that was so dramatic?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Let me play my sound clips, all right?
I just want to know who was originally referring to.
Kevin Falk.
All right. Thank you. Now we can have fun with it.
I mean, when you love football as much as Kevin does, or you love the team as much as Kevin does, he takes it really to heart that he can't be out there with us. So,
well, that one's true.
That is true. I'm out there on the sideline, but not on the other side of the line.
Exactly. So that one's true. All right, emails. Todd, what do we got? What, Sea Dog?
He was offered a trade, Bill. 12-team, full-point PPR. He'll be giving up RG3 and Jason Witten. He'll be getting Phillip Rivers and Charles Clay.
Yeah, do it.
Full-point PPR.
I like Rivers better than Griffin.
But what about Clay and Witten?
Yeah, that one's a little bit.
I'm not making this deal.
You're not making the deal?
Nope.
You don't trust Rivers?
I think Witten can have a huge second half of the year. I've had Witten in PPR formats before. He goes on these stretches, Bill, where he'll catch 9 or 10 balls in a game.
All right, don't do it.
I don't think Clay can do that.
Don't do it.
I think Rivers will he'll slow down a little bit. Well, I think RG3 could actually improve as the year goes on.
Stick with Witten.
Yes. All right, that's number one down. 500 emails to go, Bill.
All right.
Next one is your buddy Sven from?
Germany.
See? There you go, Bill.
I know.
He needs a lineup help this week. Standard scoring. Stephen Ridley, Le'Veon Bell, Edelman, V-Jax, Harry Douglas. Who would you start at running back? You can only pick two running backs there.
Ridley and
Bell. He only has two running backs.
Yeah.
Okay. Wide receivers and a flex.
Vincent Jackson and... what did he name? Five players total? He needs four spots?
I don't know what he's asking here, Bill. Do this. Rank his receivers. Edelman, V-Jax, and Harry Douglas. How would you rank them?
V-Jax, Edelman, Douglas.
Perfect. Boom.
All right. Thanks, friend.
Appreciate Full point PPR. This is Nick, Bill. He needs one running back and two flex, okay? Ray Rice, Doug Martin, Quiz Rogers, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, and Terrence Williams. Full point PPR. He can pick. He needs one running back out of that crew, and then the other two can be either position.
Ray Rice, Doug Martin, Keenan Allen. He had it right. He knows that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Trade proposal. This is coming from Jeff N. He's been asked to trade Brandon Marshall for Eddie Lacy. He's in a 16-team league, Bill.
Oh, boy.
Half-point PPR. The only reason he might consider it is because his only starting running back is C.J. Spiller. So he would get Spiller, then we'd have Lacy with it. Half-point PPR. His wideouts are thin as well.
I'm not doing this trade. Marshall for Lacy, I don't care how bad his running backs are. He only has Jordy Nelson, Cecil Shorts, and Chris Givens. You have to keep Brandon Marshall on your team. He's a top-five receiver. You're not trading Marshall.
Yeah, I agree. Especially the 16-teamer, dude.
Yeah, right? You have to have that consistency.
Yeah, you're going to be thin. In a 16-team league, you're going to be thin anyway. Every team's thin.
Right. Oh, God, the next email. Good luck knowing where this one's coming from.
What? Why don't you go ahead and lead it off, Bill?
Michael in Qatar. Qatar.
All right.
You know where Qatar is, Todd?
It's not anywhere near where I live.
They got the World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, they do. They get the World Cup in a couple, like, 8 years or something.
It's like on the other side of the United Arab Emirates.
Right? You just Google it?
Yes. And I'm playing around with Google Maps.
He says, hi, the brain trust of FF Champs. Thank you for the advice last week.
Good job.
I managed to get a close win, despite T.Y. Hilton and Torrey Smith doing their best to tank my team. I'm 5-1, and I lead the league.
All right.
He only has two running backs to start this week. Where wide receiver is where I have a problem. Which three would you start? Non-PPR. Torrey Smith, Jordy Nelson, Blackman, Hilton, Reggie Wayne.
He only has one of those guys?
Three. Which three would you start?
Three. Torrey Smith, Nelson, I would start Jordy Nelson.
Yes.
Reggie Wayne. It's between T.Y. and Blackman. Blackman.
Yeah, just make sure Blackman's 100%. They say he's going to play.
No, he'll be fine.
Yeah, just make sure, though. Just saying.
Yeah.
Make sure. Over in
Nelson,
Qatar.
Nelson, Blackman, Wayne. In a full-point PPR, Wayne gets the edge over Torrey Smith. Nelson gets the edge over Torrey Smith. Blackman gets the edge over
Torrey Smith. It's non-PPR.
Oh, it's non-PPR?
Yes.
Son of a gun. Torrey Smith, Nelson, Blackman. Leave Wayne and Hilton on the bench.
Yeah, I like off. Those are five good options, man.
Yeah, they're very good.
Nice job. Nice job over there. Next one, Keegan in Texas. This is not 15 words or less, Bill. It's a long one.
I don't know if we have that rule on this show.
Well, we should. Try to keep your emails short and sweet. It's hard to read a book of emails on the air, right, Bill?
Jeffrey or Tompkins in week two or in week seven. Is that what he's asking? Yes.
Yes.
Alshon Jeffrey or Kemble Tompkins. I'm going with Jeffrey. He's got Brandon Jacobs in the flex. Is it better to use Le'Veon Bell against the Raiders? Yes, it is. Use Le'Veon Bell. And then he's Obanaya and LaFell are free agents. Are they improvements over anyone on this roster? Brandon Bolden? No, I think Brandon Bolden's better than Obanaya. And I think LaFell, I can't trust LaFell. I think his roster is pretty good. I wouldn't pick up any of those guys.
One last thing that Keegan says that you ignored.
What?
The very first line. Guys, I enjoy the show very much. Kevin, tell Fred more Bill and Todd, less of the Rook and the Queen.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Does Kevin know? Kevin's not there.
Kevin's talking to me?
No, we're not. Never mind. Go on with the emails, Todd.
James has a question.
All right, James.
Hey, guys, it's James again, a 10-team non-PPR. He got a trade offer for the following. Vincent Jackson, Keenan Allen, Eddie Lacy, LeSean McCoy. For LeSean McCoy. So he's So it's a 3-for-1 trade. V-Jax, Keenan Allen, Eddie Lacy for LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I'm doing that trade because look at who he has at running back still.
Alfred Morris, Doug Martin, and Knowshon Moreno. So he's getting Eddie Lacy, he's getting Keenan Allen, he's getting Vincent Jackson. I love that trade.
His wide receivers, he already has Garcon, DeSean Jackson, Demaryius Thomas.
And now he's going to have Vincent Jackson and Keenan Allen.
How many receivers can he start? Five?
He lost Julio Jones and Randall Cobb. I mean, that's tough. He's going to get V-Jax, who we love second half of the season. We both like Keenan Allen, and we like Eddie Lacy as one of the easiest schedules second half of the year for any running back in the NFL. Yes, you're giving up LeSean McCoy, probably your powerhouse right now at RB. But hopefully Doug Martin can come alive. Hopefully Knowshon Moreno can keep it up, and I think Alfred Morris is going to get better as RG3 becomes more of a rushing threat.
Yeah,
I'm taking that trade.
It depends on how many receivers he can start. I mean, he's
starting. All right, so you have to figure that Demaryius Thomas and DeSean are in automatically.
Right, exactly.
And then Pierre Garcon is your flex or your wide receiver three.
Pierre Garcon is not bad. Well, where does Keenan Allen fit into this mix at all?
Well, where does Julio Jones and Randall Cobb fit in the mix? Because that's who we originally had.
I don't know. He had a pretty stacked team, man. Well, I'll agree with you. Do the trade. You've drafted well enough that you can afford to wheel and deal.
Wheeling and dealing. Limousine riding.
Okay,
Kevin,
next.
Do we have that yet? Do we have the Ric Flair woo? Like, that's what you should be cutting up. Why not?
That's not a drop.
We
that's
need
like
that.
A 25-second speech.
No, not the whole speech. We just need a simple Ric Flair woo!
All right, I can work on that, I guess.
Yeah. Work. Get to work.
I need a drink.
Put in some work, Kev.
Need some scotch.
Scotch. I love scotch. Next email, what do we got, baby?
Matt, who does he start in his flex?
Love scotch.
Who does Matt start in his flex? MJD, Ridley, Miller, or Olsen?
Lamar Miller or Greg Olsen? I'm going to go with half point. I'm going to go with Lamar Miller.
He also asked how do we like his chances to win, and he has a whole screenshot of his roster versus opponent. I like his chances.
Yeah, I like him too. Good screenshot there. Why is I don't even know which team is his. I'm trying to figure out.
I like his chances, Bill. We know which team he has. Let's move on to the next email.
All right, next. Move on to the next one.
From Gabriel Sanchez.
He has like three less players than his opponent. I don't understand. All right, yeah, whatever.
Gabe from Chicago. All right, he won last week because of you guys. Sticking with what works. His wide receivers are dropping like flies with injuries, blah, blah, blah. Who do you start? Start two running backs, Jamal Charles, Danny Woodhead, Lamar Miller, Willis McGahee.
If it's full-point PPR, I'm going with Danny Woodhead. Otherwise, I'm going with Lamar Miller. Jamal Charles, I mean, I don't even know why you include him. He's a lock in your lineup every single week.
Right. Wide receivers, A.J. Green, James Jones, is he playing? He's playing, right?
We don't know if Amendola is playing. We don't know if James Jones is playing. So right now, it looks like A.J. Green and Keenan Allen.
Yeah, then he needs a flex out of that mess, too.
Danny Woodhead, if you don't use him in the running back spot, or James Jones, it depends on the status of Jones. Again, if it's a full-point PPR league, then you're putting in Woodhead in RB2. Then it becomes Miller versus James Jones. I like Lamar Miller over Jones this weekend.
Okay, next email from Chris. It's a trade. With the Texans doing terribly and the Pats' depth being tested, is it possible we see a trade for a certain J.J. Watt or Brian Cushing? What? This is not a fantasy question.
No, not a fantasy question, but it is a pretty legit question. I mean, J.J. Watt is probably one of the most dominant forces on a defensive line, and Brian Cushing just signed a huge contract extension. So I can't imagine the Texans would trade either one of their defensive playmakers. Cushing got like a $48 million extension this offseason, and J.J. Watt is the face of the franchise right now. Not Arian Foster, it's certainly not Matt Schaub, it's not Andre Johnson, it is J.J. Watt. No way would they ever trade him.
Next question is from Josh. Okay, he's trying to trade away one of his running backs, Bill. He has Frank Gore, Doug Martin, Moreno, and Shane Vereen. He's asking us who he thinks he could get rid of to try to upgrade his quarterbacks. His quarterbacks are Alex Smith and Ryan Tannehill.
You know,
who do you think, from that group, is there anybody he can dangle out there?
There's not. And if these are his only three running backs, I'm not trading any of them. Because Vereen's not coming back until week 12 or week 11.
If you trade away Moreno, then you're not stuck with, but you're only limited to Frank Gore and Doug Martin. To me, that doesn't make sense. I would roll with all three of those running backs until Vereen gets back, and then maybe you consider making a move. You're 5-1 right now. Sit pretty and enjoy the first round bye in the playoffs.
Next question's from Chris. Not PPR league. Two spots between pick from this group, pick two. Torrey Smith, Fitz, Geo, Edelman, and Woodhead.
And now, before I answer this question, Kevin, is this the same Chris that works with you?
Ferreira?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Ferreira.
Now, is he in a league against you? Because that
No, he's not in a league against
me. He's been emailing us every week, and I just
put
it
together.
Yeah,
he likes to send in an email.
This is a different guy.
No, it's not.
It's Chris.
I'm Chris. This is Chris J.
Oh, well, Ferreira sends in an email every once in a while, too.
Yeah, he's next.
There you go.
He's next. I'm not on that one.
All right.
There's a million Chris's emailing us today.
Trying to answer Bill, all right? Get off my back.
Anyway, my point is, I was just wondering if Chris, the one that works with you, is playing against you. Because that would be a very
fortunately,
sneaky,
he is not.
That would be a very sneaky move. You know,
it would be a sly fox move.
Yeah, emailing into the show trying to get some advice to beat you. And then you're knucklehead. You're forwarding it to us anyway.
Yeah, that would be stupid.
But that's not the case.
I'm not that stupid.
All right,
Chris, pretty stupid, but not that stupid.
Back to Chris J. I apologize.
Chris J. pick two for his flex. He's two flex spots, not PPR. Torrey Smith, Fitz, Geo, Edelman, Woodhead.
Non PPR. I'm going to go with Geo and Torrey Smith.
All right, I agree. Now, your buddy Chris, your other Chris.
Yeah.
All right. Standard league. Looking for my best options to start this week. He rattles off his roster here, Bill. Do you see anything he needs to change?
I don't. I see that he has Andre Ellington on the bench. I'm not going to flex him in over Antonio Gates, and I'm not going to flex Andre Johnson with Case Keenum in over Antonio Gates. I like the fact that he can use two tight ends.
Yeah.
What a squad. Julius Thomas and Antonio Gates at flex and tight end. And then he's got Moreno, who's been playing well. Calvin Johnson needs to step it up. And if Tom Brady can play like Tom Brady, or if these receivers can play up to, pro standards, and I think they are getting better, this team can make a lot of noise going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. That's a good roster. Next one is from Dan in Connecticut, Bill. Half-point PPR. Who should he start in the wide receiver 2 spot? What is he talking about here? Julian Edelman, Mike Wallace, which one would you start?
Mike Wallace.
Running back 2, MJD, Joseph Randall.
Oh, boy. MJD.
All right. Then in the flex, Edelman or Randall?
Randall.
Yeah, I thought you were all up on Randall this week.
I am. That's why I just put him in over your boy Edelman.
Oh, snap. I just got a trade proposed to me.
You just got served.
5:58 p.m. just in time for the
end
of the show.
Hold on. Let's just quickly. We'll finish.
Fine,
with the
before I hijack it, you can keep going.
And then
going.
We'll do the trade. Yeah. I just want to finish in everyone that you
pick two of these three. Bill, okay. Keenan Allen, Mike Wallace, Dwayne Bowe.
Keenan Allen, Mike Wallace, Dwayne Bowe. Bowe's out.
Agreed. Running back: Brandon Jacobs, Zach Stacy.
Oh God, Stacy against the Panthers. Jacobs. Oh man, I don't know. Jacobs. I'm gonna regret that one. If Jacobs doesn't get into the end zone, he's not a viable fantasy option. He's just not. He's not.
All right,
last game, week Thursday night football against the Bears, that was a fluke. I'm telling you, he had 24 points in that game. He won't have 24 points in the next 3 weeks combined.
All right, those are all from Dan from Connecticut. We have two more emails to go here. Let's bang through them. We got Michael W., a couple questions. Should I start Geo over Doug Martin?
No.
Start Doug over Geo.
Yes.
And he's talking about potentially dropping Geo. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
Should he start Andrew Luck this week?
I don't understand. Why would people – have people been watching the same games that I am? Giovanni Bernard is a stud at this point.
I know.
He's on fire. Why are you dropping him? Pierre Thomas is on a bye.
Yep.
I get a little excited sometimes. I just don't understand if people are watching the same kind of football that we're watching. You know, we do fantasy football for the NFL. I'm sure there's someone out there that does fantasy football for the CFL, but that's not us. So let's make sure that we're on the same page, we're watching the right games, talking about the right players.
Okay. His next question is Andrew Luck or Andy Dalton?
Luck.
Yes. Now, his other question is, should I drop Dalton for Philip Rivers? Yes.
Yes.
There you go.
That's another one. Like, Philip Rivers is a top three quarterback right now in terms of points scored.
Yep. All right, last one. Last email is from Brett. Not Brett Favre, Brett M. Should I trade Jordan Cameron, Chris Johnson, and Danny Amendola, okay, for A.J. Green and Brandon Myers? His other tight end is Gronk. His other wideouts are Keenan Allen and Brian Hartline, so he'd be upgrading there. And his other running backs are LeSean McCoy, Shane Vereen, Danny Woodhead.
I mean, what? No. What is Brandon Myers going to do for you? Absolutely nothing. I do like A.J. Green, but I'm not going to.
I'm not doing this deal.
Yeah, I'm not doing
Cameron, that. Chris Johnson, and Amendola, when they're healthy, they're all legit. And you're only getting A.J. Green in return. So, no, I'm not doing that deal.
Yeah, I'm not either.
All right, so, Kevin, what's your trade?
I just got We're proposed a trade, 558. Just came in.
What is it?
I don't think it's good, so I don't think I'll take it. But I have, in my stable of running backs, I have Doug Martin. First of all, this is a 12-team non-PPR league where it's pretty standard, but the only quirk in it is that you get 10 points for punt return yards and 25 for kickoff return yards.
Okay.
So that's the only quirk. So you get a little bang for your buck, like on a guy like Darren Sproles, for example. So my stable of backs is Doug Martin, Steven Ridley, DeMarco Murray, and I have Randall as his handcuff, and I also have Sproles. So I have a pretty good stable of running backs. The guy is offering me, he wants Steven Ridley, and he's offering me Lamar Miller and Jacoby Jones. I don't think I'm going to take it.
No.
No.
Bill?
No.
No, Jacoby Jones.
I got excited when I saw the email come in that said I have a trade proposal, and then I looked at it and was like, this doesn't interest me.
That is,
I know Jacoby Jones came back, what did he come back, last week? And he had a touchdown or two, and I know he's a kick returner, but I don't think he's, I don't think he alone, and Lamar Miller, isn't he just kind of one of like three backs in Miami that's used?
One of two backs.
Two backs?
He's going to separate himself from...
Yeah, and with the game that Ridley had last week, I feel like he's finally maybe coming out of it a little bit. And with Bolden banged up, Blunt really hasn't done anything the last couple weeks. I feel like he may be earning his way to seeing a lot of these carries that we thought he was going to get at the beginning of the year. I don't know. Just my take on it.
Yeah, I would just hang tight with what you got.
Me too. I like it's nice to have depth at running back too, especially as all these injuries come. I was shocked I was able to pick up Randall as Murray's handcuffed on the waiver wire.
All right, boys. 1 o'clock on Sunday, the New England Patriots travel to face the New York Jets.
Kevin, are we hanging out on Saturday night, or are you going to dodge Thanksgiving last year?
I got to see what the team schedule is. Tomorrow morning, right. Bill, I'll know. Tomorrow morning. Okay. The New Jersey Jets, I will be in town.
All right.
So, guys, at 4:15, what will the final score be of this game?
Who's going first?
Bill, you go first.
28-10.
Really?
In favor of the Pats.
Kevin?
I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring. Again, a rock fight, like I kind of dubbed the Cincinnati game. I'm going to go with 20-17 Pats.
All right. At least you're picking the right team this time. I am going Patriots 23, Jets 13.
Okay. I think both teams are going to struggle to score. I don't think it's going to be a big I don't know what the over under is for this game, but I'd go with the under.
28-10 is my prediction. So, Todd, you and I are pretty close, 23-13. Kevin, you think it's going to be a close game? Why do you think it's close?
I think the Patriots being severely banged up. Amendola hasn't practiced this week. It's looking like he's not going to play. Mayo done for the year. Looks like Tlaib's not going to play. He hasn't been out on the practice field. Tommy Kelly, another guy who is kind of subbing in for Vince Wilfork there. Doesn't look like he's going to play. He hasn't practiced. I think the Jets are going to be able to run the ball on the Patriots. I don't think they're going to beat the Patriots by running the ball, but I think they're going to be able to run it relatively effectively. Right. And I think they're going to keep the ball for a fair amount of this game, much like you saw Cincinnati do a decent job of running between the tackles without Wilfork and playing a little bit of ball control. And, you know, I think that going back to that Cincinnati game, a team that has a little bit of that gritty identity like Cincinnati does, you know, the Saints we consider more of a finesse team, a pass-oriented team. I would view the Jets more in that Bengals, Steelers-type ilk where they're kind of ground and pound. I think they're going to have a little bit of success running at the middle of this defense, like you saw Ben Jarvis Green Ellis on fourth and one from the 1 yard, or fourth and goal, excuse me, from the 1 yard line, plow his way in against the Patriots. I think that they're going to be able to play keep away a little bit, and I think it's going to keep the score down, and that's pretty much all I got for you.
The over-under is 43.5, and
wow.
Bill's final score is 38 points. My final score is 36 total points.
Yeah, I'll go with
Kevin's
the under.
Kevin's is 37.
Yeah, I'll go with the under.
So we're all a touchdown under.
Yeah.
So
no, I think that's definitely. I think the only way the score
special teams
yeah
defense.
Gets elevated is if, yep. For example, last Thanksgiving I happened to be at that game as well, and I think the Pats scored like 14 or 21 points in like 35 seconds off.
Oh, that was awesome.
You know what I mean? And it was
Bug
like
fumble.
Yeah, but then it was like a fumble on the kickoff that got taken in for the touchdown.
Right.
And, you know, it was just nuts, like nothing I had ever seen before.
So wouldn't it be great if we get like something? Nothing's going to be as good as the butt fumble, but just something. Like, give us something.
No, I'm with
Maybe
you.
Maybe Joe Namath will be interviewed at halftime.
That yeah. would be something.
Imagine this time he's like, I want to kiss Rex Ryan's wife.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe. I'm
yeah!
A huge compliment.
Yeah,
you know, that's the only Jet game I've ever been to.
Really?
That was there, live. Yeah. It was
that's
hilarious.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Did they play it in the stadium?
Yeah, over the loudspeaker, sure. I don't even know who they were playing that game. I think it was the Rams. I want to say it was the Jets-Rams, but I'm not sure.
I just remember him talking about the Jets struggling.
Yeah, he is, you know, a character.
He's a character.
Sure. Certainly is. All right, that'll wrap up today's episode of Football Nation. Todd, any final thoughts before we take off?
Just a golf clap for Kevin.
Good job, Kev. Keeping us on air. He did a good job.
Appreciate that. We had a good show despite a rocky start.
We did. Certainly did.
Yeah. Kevin, good job.
You get a little present for you on the way out, Bill, too.
I want to thank Kerry Byrne from ColdHardFootballFacts.com. Thanks to Mike Reese from ESPN Boston for joining us. And, of course, thanking all of our callers and emailers. We'll be back next week with the Fantasy Football Champs and more Football Nation Radio. Best of luck in your fantasy matchups in Week 7. Thank you for listening to Patriots.com Radio.
Talking to the Rolex wearing diamond ring wearing kid stealing woo wheeling dealing limousine wreck jet flying son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
Todd DeVries and Bill Enright bring you the latest trends from the NFL on Football Nation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.